This episode is sponsored by the Catholic Financial Planners Network. More later in the show. How should morals affect our investment strategy? Learn the difference between a Catholic perspective and a Protestant one in this episode of our Wallet Win or Dave Ramsey series of The Catholic Money Show.
In our previous episode, we introduced this series as a response to one of the most frequently asked questions that we get. What's the difference between you guys and what you teach at Wallet Win and Dave Ramsey? And then today's episode, we are going to be diving a little bit deeper into a specific question of how should morals inform our investing?
So it's going to be a double answer here in going through the answer of how should morals in fact affect our investing and what's the difference between what we would say or what we say and what Dave Ramsey says.
I will add this though. So we did work through Financial Peace University way back in the day at the very early beginnings of our own personal finance journey. It was very helpful in many respects. But I'll say this, when we got to the section about investing, really, the only guidance that Dave provided in that section of the class, and then it was the same even after they re-recorded it and we led it in our parish a few years later, was essentially, you know, these are the types of funds you should invest in, small cap, mid cap, foreign, et cetera. And then here's kind of the percentage you should have in each of them. And that was about it. Other than just, you know, making sure a certain percentage of your own income was being invested. And then here was this general breakdown of maybe how it could be invested. There was nothing, not even one mention of moral investing, of how do we go into investments using our consciences. And part of the reason is because Dave is coming at it from a Protestant perspective. And just to be clear, there's not a cohesive agreement on what is moral investing in the Protestant world, because because there are fractured viewpoints, each of them grasping at different biblical passages, saying this, that, or the other thing, you know, gives a case for how they, you know, look at X, Y, or Z issue. And so he can't really speak to all of that other than referring to maybe other organizations or resources that might do this for general Christians. Whereas we as Catholics, there's actually a lot that the church has to say about investing, about economics, about companies, about our role and our responsibility in society. And I didn't know any of that. And so little old Jonathan and Amanda were up for a big old wake-up call when we realized that this had not even been a thought in our minds early on. And then, wow, now when you know, when you begin to form your conscience in this, now you know. And that's part of the beauty and also the burden in the Catholic world. I know too much.
Once you know, you know. Now you gotta go do something.
So the we know now, and we want to break it down more for you so that you can do something about your investing to be more aligned with your conscience and with our faith, because there are things you can do. Again, not always. There's a lot of room for both and in the Catholic world, and there's a lot of discernment needing to be used. But we are going to give you some guidelines and some recommendations on how you can get your investments more aligned with your faith.
Absolutely. It's something that's worth looking into, especially if it is a topic that you've been wondering about or thinking about. That's a sign maybe that your conscience is being pricked a little bit about this. And all right, well, then let's follow where that leads us and see what we might be asked of you in answer to that. It, like Amanda said, it is a very prudential judgment. We do, though, have the expectation to form our consciences well so that we can make these decisions. And the decisions in one area at one time in our life and certain situation and circumstances might be a bit different than what we would make in this other time or these other circumstances. And it's an understanding, discerning those different circumstances that come up in our lives where I guess it makes it trickier there's not just a one size fits all answer. But I guess that's kind of what makes it a little more fun and exciting too.
Keeps us on our toes. Now, we like to oftentimes say one of the biggest shifts and differences that we've made in our own finances since kind of taking on a more Catholic perspective with it is that back when we were not really realizing it, but operating out of a Protestant worldview when it came to our money, we were doing a lot of being told what to do and told how to think. Whereas the Catholic approach to not only money, but basically everything is teaching us how to think. And so when you do that, not just what to think, you're being taught how to think. You can go into every single situation that you personally will be in, and you'll be able to draw on foundations and ethics and morals and be able to apply it uniquely to that situation, kind of knowing how to think about it. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful things.
Absolutely.
That investments definitely will fall under that.
Mm-hmm. So this is maybe a little bit of an unusual episode format for us. I'll take the responsibility here. I was tasked on outlining this episode. And so I just wanted to do as good a job as I could in answering the question, but also answering the other question of, well, then what's the difference between what you guys teach and what Dave teaches? So Amanda said, right, you go through the class, you read the book, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, Dave records 3 hours of question and answer and rants every weekday. So there's lots of opportunities for him to say things and to see what's going on and what he's thinking and teaching. So I found a clip on YouTube. We're going to play some clips of the clip. And I'll link to it in the show notes for full context. And I want to do this not...
I saw that this was the format, I was like, what is this? Just a reaction clip?
Don't want to do a big reaction
vid. Like a TikTok reaction vid.
No, that gets the views and the listens.
Not really our style.
So that's not what we're trying to do. We might fall over there sometimes. I hope not. But I figured it was the most fair to let Dave say what Dave says, instead of me telling you what he says.
Mm-hmm. And then we will kind of
bounce
off of that.
And I'll say this even before we start. Most of what he says is good.
Yeah, it is. It's so interesting how we're in agreement with so much, but then there's a few percentage, but a small percentage.
It's these little
of
bits.
Motives or differences that just make all the difference.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to highlight again. We like Dave. He's cool.
We've met him.
Spent some time with him. He's great. We're not anti-Dave. We think maybe there's some...
He can't speak into a Catholic perspective on money. He just can't. And he would say that himself. So, of course, it's our duty to go ahead and explain this.
There we go. All right. Well, let's kick that off after a really quick message from our episode sponsor. I'd like to introduce you to our sponsor, the Catholic Financial Planners Network. CFPN financial advisors prove that you can make great investment returns by doing wonderful things with your money. These advisors are not just numbers people. They're faithful Catholics who actively improve the finances of their clients. They help you make wise financial decisions that benefit you and reflect our values of stewardship and charity. To find an advisor who shares your financial and spiritual values, follow these steps. 1. Search CFPN's growing directory of certified financial planners. 2. Discuss your goals and values with a few potential advisors and find one you'll love working with. 3. Begin and start walking towards a brighter future for you and your family with the right advisor by your side. Whether it's saving for retirement, funding education, or navigating taxes, they're here to support you every step of the way. Visit CatholicFinancialPlanners.com to learn more about how CFPN can help you reach your goals while staying true to your values. That's CatholicFinancialPlanners.com. All right, so I found this clip of a caller asking about, you know, all right, I'm looking to invest in these mutual funds. Well, how do I make sure that, you know, these things are made up of hundreds and hundreds of stocks from different companies, how do I make sure I'm not investing and making money off something I don't really want to be invested in or making money off of?
Such as
abortion, the abortion industry, such as taking advantage of other people, maybe in really, really bad labor conditions or you know, really subpar wages, and destroying the environment, in promoting pornography and promoting all sorts of
gambling, smoking,
drinking to excess, all of those, right? Some of those maybe aren't smoking, drinking. They're not sins in and of themselves.
But the industry
takes, or even gambling. A game of chance is not bad. But I don't think I want to be part owner of a casino. There's a difference between me doing a little bit of game, me putting a bet on, hey, buddy, what do you think? $5, the Cubs win this game?
Sure.
And running the tables and making the money that way. So there's differences there anyway. So there's lots of different filters. And again, a lot of that also is up to our prudential judgment. We'll get into that.
Pharmaceutical companies that maybe are doing bad things.
Yes, all sorts of things.
So those are the types of things this caller is concerned about.
Yep. So we're going to work through some bits of what Dave says in response. And again, he's on a radio show with limited time in between commercial breaks. He has so much to say. He probably is maybe pulling some of this out as he's thinking. So we're going to give even more
benefit of the doubt.
Even more layers of benefit of the doubt. But here's his first clip here in response to the caller.
When you buy a mutual fund and the mutual fund buys a share of stock in XYZ company that is engaged in something you don't agree with, okay? That share, when they buy that share of stock, they don't buy it from that company. They buy it from another investor that is selling it. So that company is in no way profiting from you investing in that mutual fund. That company's not getting any of your money. You understand? You're not supporting. It's like saying, I bought a used Chevrolet. I won't buy a used Chevrolet from you because I'm mad at Chevrolet. Like, that damages Chevrolet in some way. It doesn't even come up. Now, buying a new one from them would be understandable if you were mad at Chevrolet. You wouldn't do that, right? But me not buying a used one from you is not buying a share of stock on Home Depot from you because I'm mad at Home Depot. It doesn't affect Home Depot. They don't care.
What Dave is saying here, that a company isn't directly making money off of the sale of the stock, right? You are buying it from another shareholder. The profit will go to that shareholder. That is 100% correct. He's right there. I don't have any issues there. I think he could go a little further. I think we could go a little bit deeper here and think about this a little bit more. This example maybe of a Chevy. And again, he's probably just whatever flew into his head at the time. So I'm not going to try to pick apart every little piece of this example here. But a strong used market helps create a strong new market.
Right.
You know, if everybody's buying used Chevys, well, then I might buy a new one because I know people are going to buy it from me later instead of making me buy a different car because I don't think I could sell that Chevy later. Mm-hmm. But I want to move on that from there. I think what's stronger here is noting, even if, say, Chevy comes out with the Planned Parenthood edition truck or whatever.
Or they're just a placeholder for a company doing things that are against your morals.
I mean, I'm just looking for an unbelievably explicit example that will hopefully never happen in real life. So the Planned Parenthood branded pickup truck or whatever. Now, even driving a used Chevy that was even manufactured and I purchased it used before they came out with this other one, still in some way associates me with the work that they're doing and could cause scandal. And not being in the tabloids and all this, but, you know, if someone is thinking, I don't know, I don't really like that part of their business. Can I do business with them? And then you see Father driving up to Mass in his Chevy car or whatever it is. No problems with Chevy in the real world. At least I don't think so.
That could cause scandal.
That could cause scandal. Oh, well, I guess father's fine with it. I guess I'll go buy that. When who knows how that car came to him or who paid for it or how old it is, any of that stuff. So again, there's just more layers that we need to think through here. Speaking about...
that's something that Catholics, you know, it's not talked about enough, I think, is the risk and the cause of scandal. And in every area of our life, including our investments. I meet people all the time who the reason they are not practicing the faith anymore is because they saw a bunch of hypocrisy in Catholics and Christians living just like the world, still going to mass, but just doing whatever the heck they wanted, however they wanted. And then why? Why even go to church anymore? Why even practice our faith if we're just going to look just like the world and not change anything in our life? That's a scandal to people.
Yeah.
Rightly so. And of course they're going to question, well, why wouldn't I just live life for myself if it doesn't really make any difference in that person's life? That's a really big deal.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, I think it's very, 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 very few people leave the faith because they've really sat down and thought about all the theological arguments on this side and that side and have come to this decision because of this or that. It's so much on how we act in the world. And we, at least I know Jonathan, is by no means perfect at any of this. And boy, I could live a much more integrated life. So I'm not trying to put me forward as some perfect example.
The whole journey is until the day we die. It's a constant conversion of every little area of our life over and over and over.
Yes, ma'am. All right. So let's go keep going, though, and owning the stock. Now, Dave continues on. And he says something, again, which I think is pretty good.
There is a question, if you want to get that technical about it. There is a question, then, of are you profiting from some of the things that that company is doing that they make a profit on that you're not proud of? Yes, you would be. Now, that part would be accurate. Now, there's two ways to that I've addressed that in my own life. One is, you can choose to buy mutual funds that are called clean funds, where they go through and they either are picking companies that match a politically correct narrative, like, for instance, that they don't buy a company that in some way messes up the environment in their view or something like that, or there are clean funds that are along the religious lines of more of the things you were mentioning, like abortion or pornography or alcohol or tobacco or whatever.
All right, Dave, thank you. Yes, so while the company might not be, you might not be caught up in giving this money to the company directly and have a moral issue there, there is an issue in which you are getting money because of your association with this company. If there are dividends paid out on that stock ownership, well, that is direct money paid to you from that company, and some of that money, assuming they're not an entirely evil corporation, at least a percentage of that money you're getting is from the profits of some evil activity that they are doing. So that's bingo bango, right on the money right there. I want to go again a little bit further. Because I think one thing I don't think this is intentional or anything, but one thing that just doesn't come up at least is when we own some stock, whether it's straight up owned it or I'm in a mutual fund and the mutual fund owns so many shares and because of that I own blah, blah, blah. We are part owner of the company. So instead of, well, yeah, I make a little bit of money because I have some stock in this company, it feels different to say, I own a piece of that company. I am one of the owners of this company who makes some of their money by selling pornography. I don't want a company I own to do that. And so it's an easier, maybe stronger conscience check. To phrase it that way, to think of that reality in that, all right, you own this thing. Does it do what you would do if you were owner? Because you are the owner. He also brings up, so there you go. He talks about these, what he calls these clean funds or these moral investment funds. There's lots of different terms.
Been around for a while.
Oh, decades.
But yeah. I would say not in the Christian or Catholic standpoint. I've seen them more for like environmental issues.
They're all over the place. You can, in the same ways that you can find all sorts of different mutual funds based on the type of thing you want to invest in, you could find all sorts of different value-based funds for all sorts of different values.
Yep. So that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing.
No.
The values may not be good.
Just because it says values fund,
it's deceptive.
Doesn't mean it might line up with your values or the values that you want to be living by as a member of the church. So yes, do keep that in mind for sure. I don't mean to be nitpicky. He brings up politically correct funds, which there certainly are. But he uses the environment as the example. And while, sure, sometimes when people are bringing up stuff about the environment, maybe they are going a little too far. It's out of priority or whatever. But it is a moral issue. Mm-hmm. All of these things should be moral issues. And should be influenced by our faith. The
USCCB a few years back, they've given a few different guidelines over the years on investing. Mm-hmm. But essentially, if you want to
Got this one. I just printed it out. A really juicy title. Socially Responsible Investment Guidelines for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Okay, so it went for a straightforward title.
Yes.
But essentially, they have five different big categories that they cover inside of this document. And it's not short.
Oh, no, it's really actually
it's
pretty
substantial.
Good and then this, and it, just to be very, very clear, it's not a teaching document. It's not that level of authority or anything like that. The USCCB, I guess, has their own investments to help fund some of the things that they do. This is the rules that they wrote for themselves for how they're going to manage that money and then have published it, I guess, both for like accountability and just as an example. And I think it's a pretty neat one.
We see this in scripture even, the elders of the church would set an example and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think our bishops are doing a little bit of that modeling with this, with sharing these guidelines.
Yeah, so there are five categories. Are protecting human life, promoting human dignity, enhancing the common good, pursuing economic justice, and saving our global common home. So environment clearly fits under that one. And then each one of those, I'm not going to go through them, but they have all these like kind of sub points, like protecting human life talks then about abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, in vitro fertilization, embryonic stem cell and fetal tissue research, human cloning, access to drugs and vaccines, and so on. So each one like has even more underneath it. So anyway, it's a really great read. I'll put a link to that in the show notes too.
We will.
Because I think it's kind of neat to read.
We brought this up just as one of those things is taking care of our environment. And I think it just for a long time, it was easy to think that that's just a liberal ideology when, come on. Catholics owned this thing long before. Creation, the garden. Come on, our Lord created this earth. Let's be good stewards of it. The church has been talking about that forever.
Absolutely.
Our Lord reveals himself to us in creation, so we steward it well. And anyway.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest gifts he's given us.
Yes, yes. And of course, there's people that have taken nuggets of that and they run to extremes. So, there's not...
He needs to be in the right place.
Yes, exactly. But as far as clean funds go, a lot of times they're going to be more secularly filtered. Now, there are Catholic and Christian filtered funds out there. And I think Dave is going to mention one of those.
Yeah, he mentions one.
Eventually.
If we play that later clip, he mentions that the Timothy option. He's talking about Timothy funds. It's a Christian investment thing. If you've ever heard of Ave Maria funds, that's like a Catholic one of these, where they have mutual funds they've put together and they screen the companies in those funds to filter out different things.
Yeah, and they're trying to do some of that screening work.
Yeah.
And a good Catholic investment advisor will try to help do some of that screening work as well.
Absolutely.
But it's never going to be perfect.
No.
it's never going to be perfect. And we can talk about that in a little bit of mm-hmm. what if your conscience just won't allow, because sometimes it won't. And you don't want to have any association. Are we allowed to do investing? I think we could link to a debate, I think, that's been done between Jacob Imam and Trent Horn. We could put that below the show notes. The answer is, from Trent's perspective, yes. From our perspective, yes. We just have to do the very best we can. And that means we have to try as hard as we can to actually do this morally and ethically.
Absolutely. Yes, we'll link to that debate they had. Although I will say, personally, I felt like they were... Because they, of course, you prepare for a thing. I feel like they were kind of talking across each other anyway.
And not answering
But of course, both doing a better job than I would have done. So what can I say?
Let's call for a second one.
Yeah.
Part two.
All right. This other thing I want to bring up here is, and this is certainly not unique to Dave, and it happens all over the place, but I think it is so important. And the only place I've ever run into it is in a Catholic context. And you see it in these guidelines that the bishops are using, in that when we think of moral investing, it's so easy. Most 90-whatever% of the time, people are using that as shorthand for filtering out bad stuff. I want to avoid doing evil. Instead of course, always avoid doing evil. But instead of doing that and trying to also do good, right? I can choose between these stores, right? One of them, every purchase, we're having a special 50% goes to Planned Parenthood today. I'm not going to shop there. There's another one where it's just a regular store. And then maybe there's another one where for every candy bar you buy today, we're planting a tree. Well, I was looking to buy a candy bar. Planting a tree seems like a good thing. That choice lets me do good while I'm also buying a candy bar.
Avoiding evil.
And I'm avoiding the
evil. So it's maximizing the good.
Yes.
While also avoiding what you didn't want to do.
So this is big. And this is something, when I first came across it, I thought, wow, this is really something to think about that I don't think is really getting thought about. The bishops talk about it kind of in three ways. So they've got their three, what do they call it here? Investing strategies. The first is avoid doing harm. I think we can understand that, right? They refuse to invest in companies that do things counter to their values, or if they are in them, or they start doing things that are counter to the values, they divest from those companies. Secondly, they actively work for change. So maybe a company, they're not doing like straight up evil, but they could be doing better stuff.
Stuck in their ways, not using their influence.
Yeah, so maybe for good. So that's something that you can do. And as a shareholder, as part owner of the company, you get to have a voice. You can bring up resolutions to vote for at the shareholder meetings and things like this. And if you get a bunch of people thinking this way, well, then you can work together and your one little voice can actually be heard and turn into some change and help a company do more good. Yep. So that's pretty good.
You can help a company that even has some things that are questionable about the company, mm-hmm. but you could nudge them in the direction to keep doing more of the good that they have the capacity for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. They're diverting more of their efforts towards good change, positive change.
Absolutely. And then the third is to promote the common good. And I want to read these two little sub-points they have here. It's two courses of action. One, supporting policies and initiatives in companies owned by the conference that promote the values of Catholic moral teaching or positions advocated by conference statements while earning a reasonable rate of return, because it is an investment. And two, investments that promote community development, which in some cases may result in a lower rate of return, but which nevertheless are chosen because they give expression to the church's preferential option for the poor or produce some truly significant social good. So these could be all sorts of companies where, all right, yeah, we're getting a return. And it was also revealing, so when you look earlier in the document, they define for themselves a reasonable rate of return is one that, matches the market good enough, or gives them enough of a return to do what they need to do. And I think that's a really great definition of that, is how much money do you need to make? It's not just unlimited. It's not what's the biggest return I can get.
But that's what capitalism says.
Yes, it is. Mm. Oh, now don't call us a communist or anything.
Oh, the church has spoken very boldly on capitalism. Yes. St. John Paul II has had some strong mm-hmm. words to say about it.
It's not
another episode.
It's not an unmitigated good in the life of the world.
It can be good, but it can be taken to extremes.
Yes.
Profit at all costs being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And rate of return at all costs being another.
Yeah. So if you think of, it just came into my mind, but you think of the Lorax by Dr. Seuss, right? The what's his name?
That
bird? Not the Sizzler.
The bird who eats the berries off the bush and he gets a bunch of tail feathers?
No.
Oh, that's
a
different
one. The Lorax is the one when they chop down the truffula trees to make thneeds.
Oh, right. Oh,
so, right, there's no respect for other things other than profit.
Mm.
And which, of course, leads to environmental ruin, which infects all these creatures who live there. But also, you see the personal ruin of the Onceler.
Life?
Oh, yeah. He's washed up, alone, abandoned by his family. Spoiler alert, I guess.
Okay, sorry. I was thinking about the berries. But that's a whole nother lesson on maximizing and getting greedy and overindulging. Forget that one, the name of it. But okay.
So we do need to remember, we need to keep in mind, certainly we don't want to do evil, but we should be searching out opportunities to do good. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is a very, very genuine Catholic perspective on our investments and our finances, is how can we do the most good with this?
Agreed. And I think it hits on, too, just, you know, when we do our examinations of conscience before we go to confession, it's not just about what did I do wrong? We have to also ask ourselves, where did I fail to do good that I ought to have and had the ability to do but didn't do? Those are sometimes the sneakiest, and we don't even want to think about them because those hurt more. But admitting that, yeah, we had the ability to do something and we failed to.
Good left undone.
Good left undone.
That I'm getting worked up thinking about that right now. I'm about to cry. But let's acknowledge, though, and you would see this in we did it in the Catholic Money Summit when we interviewed Trent Horn.
We did.
About how do we do this? Because
how can we still
there
go to
are
Disney
no
World?
Perfect companies. Yeah, can I go to Disney World? Because last time I went, it was really fun, but they're getting a little crazy. Can I go? He answers the question. And so we can't avoid all evil all the time in every situation,
no.
Unfortunately. And there's all sorts, we're not going to get into it now, but there's these different, is it proximate? Is it remote? There's all this stuff.
Philosophical questions to ask yourself, ethical questions.
Yes. And so Dave starts to go in on this. I think he brings up some points. So we're just going to listen to that one quick too.
You're going to get that nitsy in your life that the $100 that you put in your 401k, out of that 22 cents ends up that you make some money off of the sale of a tobacco product somewhere down in there, then you pretty well need to stop shopping at your local grocery store because they got Playboy and wine in there. You pretty well need to shut down your banking arrangement because most of them support the United Way, which is a big supporter of Planned Parenthood. And so you pretty well can't do business with your bank because they're using some of those profits to do that. You really can't walk around out here in society without coming in contact with the society is part of the problem. And it's not, so I think God will judge, in my opinion, the intent of our heart, and I'm not going to directly invest in something that I'm trying to make money off of someone being harmed. I will never do that. But I'm also not going to get down into the legalism of every little tiny thing trying to figure out how I can just live in a cocoon somewhere spiritually, and I'm just fine. I'm not worried about it. But if you're worried about it, you can go the route of like the Timothy plan if you want to do that. But you really need to stop shopping at your local grocery store and you need to quit banking, and you need to quit buying gas, and you need to quit, I mean, just name it. Because everywhere you deal with, you're dealing with somebody that's interacting with one of those things, and you supporting them or giving them profit in order to buy more cigarettes to sell them to somebody, or cans of Skoal to sell them to somebody, or whatever it is you're upset about, right? And so, you know, you've just got to, again, I'm not going to invest directly in one of those businesses. I'm not going to profit directly from one of those businesses, but the minutia that I make with 200 stocks in my mutual fund, if five of them have a percentage of their product line that I'm not proud of and that I wouldn't personally believe in, I can't comb enough tangles out of my hair to get there. So I just move on. And that's how I look at it.
Something I really like what he says here, I'm probably going to butcher it because I didn't write it down, but it was that line of you can't move about in a society without coming into contact with the society. He probably said it better. But that idea, that's spot on. We can't avoid all evil all the time in everything we do. That would be nice, but we just can't. Mm-hmm. I believe it is a mistake, though, to think because of that, because I can't apply a large amount of rigor to all of my financial decisions at all times and make sure all of them are perfect, that I shouldn't at least try to do that some of the time.
It's a little bit of throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm.
And I think that really what this comes down to is why are we trying to pursue moral investing or ethical investing? It's because of our call as disciples. We're to be like our rabbi, Jesus. Mm. And because we are following Christ, everything in our life ought to look different. Not just our investments, but maybe the music we're buying, certainly, or who we are banking with. Why would we not put a little bit of thought in this? You know, now, 20, 30 years ago, I don't think people had to think so hard about this. But we have gotten into a landscape where you might sign up with this credit union and you could have just done the quickest Google search to figure out that they are massive promoters of the trans agenda and they are funneling a lot of money towards those causes every month. Well, come on, just do a simple Google search.
Yeah.
That's what we're asking here for people to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you need to be paralyzed and panicked and, oh, I can't do anything anywhere ever. We have to, as disciples, to put a little bit of thought into who we're doing business with out there. And if we can choose some place that's not just avoiding maybe the evil, but also maybe furthering the good, why wouldn't we? And that can apply to a grocery store. Mm-hmm. Is there a grocery store in your area that is known for treating people like garbage and paying them horribly? Maybe their name's Walmart.
Hey.
I don't know. They've gotten a lot better over the years, I think. But is there one that's really reputable where they're just knocking it out of the park and their customer service is incredible? And
they're employee-owned.
They're employee-owned, so everybody's got stake in it. Maybe you shop there. It might cost a little bit more, but you know what? You're furthering good. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're going to shop at the farmer's market because that's going to go into the local economy and help real families, you know, put dinner on their own tables. Mm-hmm. We get to choose where we shop, and when we can try to not only minimize the evil but also maximize the good, that's always our call as disciples, and how we live our faith out should trickle into those areas. It shouldn't paralyze us. Don't mishear me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't mishear me. You don't have to Google everything for 4 hours. I'm talking about the simplest of searches when you're going to make a major decision like a bank. To choose.
Yeah. And I mean, gosh, him going through that, I was like, oh, well, I guess we should look up our bank instead of, well, I guess I just can't do anything. I guess I'll just keep going on. It's like, oh, well, maybe I should look that up because I'm sure that's not every bank. So yeah, I think there's a call that put in a little bit of work and make your decision. Also, just he says, oh, yeah, if it's all these, you know, 200 stocks, five of them or whatever. All right, sure. But if you're in, say, an index fund of the S&P 500, I ran that through some Christian values screener thing. And I don't exactly know everything that makes something flag on their system. All I know is their main categories. And I think they're maybe even still missing one or two. But 70% of those 500 stocks are flagged. It says it's 70% like dirty or whatever term they use. So it can end up being a whole lot more than just a small handful in that mutual fund, which in that case, then it's not minutia that is making, you know, you're not making a couple cents. Now it's maybe the majority of your return. Now, some of that also might be maybe it's only 1% of that company's business, but it's still going to get flagged and blah, blah, blah. So maybe we have to look further into those numbers, which it wouldn't let me do. But it can be a lot more. There's a lot more going on. And again, some of it is your level of availability to look into these things, especially while we're waiting maybe on the market to deliver more options for folks like us to investigate what we've got or to easily filter things out.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty difficult. Sometimes your employer will only give you these three sets of things to invest in, and those are the only ones they're going to match in. And you can certainly roll things over into other things as well. But I think mostly the point we're making here is we just need to put a little bit of thought here into how we're investing, but also, where we're shopping. That's the landscape of the day and age that we live in, that, we are voting with our dollars in many ways, and we should know with a little bit of research what it is that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, again, there's no pronouncement from the church requiring a certain level of looking into the details of your investments or whatever. It seems that, though, we should do something. We should be thinking about this at least a little bit, and when we can, make a different decision.
Yes.
And that's going to come down to the situations. It's going to come down to their own sensitivity of our own consciences. And, you know, it's easy to say, I'm not going to invest in, you know, Abortion Co. That's easy. It's in all the other stuff, which we need to form our consciences, really sit down and think through things. And that means there's going to be different decisions for different people. Mm-hmm. And those people can both be right.
It's within their discernment, yeah.
Or I could invest in this thing over here because maybe that's the only thing my company offers me. And that's what I've deemed the right decision for my family. But once I move on from the match or whatever, now I'm going to put my money somewhere else because I don't want to invest it there. Mm-hmm. Maybe those are both the right option.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep. And you mentioned conscience sensitivity. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on this a bit because inside of our Catholic Money course, not only do we have a lesson where we teach about, all right, if you want to do the old vanilla, you know, get into the market, choose ethical, moral funds, here's the path for you. Mm-hmm. That's going to be most people. That's the most accessible. That's kind of what the investment code, you know, written by the IRS, blah, 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 taxes, all that is, that's kind of part of our culture now with companies, et cetera. So a lot of people, that's going to be the path.
And then, if you wanted to do this values investing and all that, that would still kind of be the outline that you would follow.
That'd be just, putting a filter in place over that plan, okay? And making maybe some strategic decisions, still operating within, I am primarily going to retire by investing in the market and in all these different companies, and then that is going to be the income engine that I live off of when I stop working later in life, or how I choose to charitably give, etc. Some people, though, and I'm seeing this happening more and more often, their conscience is telling them that this is just not for them. And I never want to be somebody who encourages somebody to go against their conscience. And I think you're well within your discernment to decide that you don't want to go down that path whatsoever. And this is something that Dave Ramsey does not talk about at all. One of the reasons being is because he has a large network of investment advisors paying him to get clients. And so he has to recommend this path. But, you know, there are other options. Possibly you want to buy land and sell land. Maybe you want to farm. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you want to buy real estate. Maybe there are other investment alternatives for you. Maybe you want to buy a storage unit facility. There are so many different ways to produce an income for yourself that don't require you to be working. And I think people are catching on to that and realizing that and opting out of that traditional path. And as long as you have a plan in place and something that you're meaningfully pursuing or going after, you're buying a business, you're buying some apartment buildings, etc., it's not imprudent to decide that you want to go down that path instead of the other one. Mm-hmm. Some people will do a mix of both. But you can decide you just don't want to do the path of traditional investing. And I think that the more people pay attention to their consciences, they might opt for that alternative path, and that's okay.
Yes. There is not this one right and only path towards providing for yourself as you age and aren't able to work the same way. There's not this one way into retirement or anything like that, even though, boy, that sure gets talked about the most. And that's all up to your decision. So I guess maybe it's certainly all of our jobs to form our consciences well and just form ourselves better in this. I guess that's maybe part of our job here is to help provide mm-hmm. some of these conversations or resources to you so you can form yourself better to make those better decisions. And so we thank you for listening or watching this particular episode of the Catholic Money Show. We'd love for you to follow the show or subscribe so you get notified of new episodes whenever they come out every week. And if you want to learn more about handling your money and looking at this through a true Catholic perspective, do check out the Catholic Money Academy. It's home of the Catholic Money Course and all sorts of good things that we create to help you do this thing. You can learn more at walletwin.com/academy.
Bada bing, bada boom. And if you have questions that you would like to submit for future episodes as we continue this series, teasing out and discussing what are the differences between Wallet Win and Dave Ramsey, then you can email us at email@walletwin.com, put Dave in the subject line, or better yet, I believe you can leave us a voicemail.
That's right, walletwin.com/voicemail.
There you have it. And if this podcast was a blessing to you, would you please leave a 5-star review for us wherever it is that you listen to podcasts? That really does help other people find us as well.
Mm-hmm. And certainly click that share button and share it with 3 people who you think would like to hear this episode. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Until next time, bye for now.